Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
So I want to get into God's word. I want to get back into, we're in part number two of a series that we've been in called Uphill Habits. Uphill Habits. If you've been here, I hope you're enjoying it. Truly, honestly, it's been speaking to me, challenging me. This happens all the time when I'm in study and preparation to serve you. I'm constantly finding the Holy Spirit just really, really probe at me. Be like, you know what I mean? Like, practice what you preach, bro. Like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like, I'm working on it. So I just want you to know, I said it last week, but I want to say it again, that I'm with you in this. When I'm declaring the truth of God's word, I just want you to know that I'm listening as I'm speaking because I need it as much as anybody does. Amen, everybody. Like, I would hate so much for you to place me somewhere in your mind, like somehow I've got all this figured out or I know all. Man, that is just as far from the truth as it could be. I'm still a student of this game. I'm still passionately chasing the heart of God and just trying to grow myself. So my hope for this year is that we can become a family full of people that are just real about who we really are before God. We're imperfect and we're flawed and we need them, amen? But what I wanna do this year, instead of being resolution-minded, I wanna be habit-minded. Statistics tell us that by Valentine's Day of this year, that more than 80% of your resolutions will have been gone, or more than 80% of you will have lost them all. Like, you're not even living up to them anymore. That's 6 weeks, which is a little disheartening. Wouldn't you agree? So rather than approach the year with a mindset of resolutions, I'd like to approach the year with a mindset of habits, that I'm gonna form some habits inside my heart and my life that will stick, that will last, that I will do, not necessarily like this is my big target, but I'm just gonna focus on every day. I'm gonna do some things each and every day that I think can change my life. And last Sunday, we talked about this habit number one. So each week of the month, by the way, I'm gonna give you a new habit. So we'll give you four this month. And last week we started the year with this. My first habit was focusing on what I do first. First things matters, wouldn't you agree? So first part of my day, giving that to God. First part of my week on Sunday, giving that to God. First part of my month, thinking about the calendar and the budget and the schedule, giving those things to God. And then first part of my year, which many, many, many of you are joining us in 21 days of prayer and fasting. If you're joining, just say a little something like, something like that. Yeah. Because we're day number eight of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we just encourage people, hey, just offer God your best sacrifice. We don't tell you what to fast or how to do it. Just offer God your best. We talked about that a lot last week, and here's what I wanna say. I'm gonna make a quick note about fasting, that day eight, about right now, is when you really start to recognize how much you miss whatever it is you've separated from. You know what I mean? Like, some of you guys are about to just go crazy. Here's what I wanna say. I wanna encourage you, because you're closer to the end now than when you started. That's the encouragement. You really, truly are. And then here's the other encouragement, that when we meet again next Sunday, it'll be completely opposite. You'll be on the downhill slide of it right then. Okay, so have some hope. But here's the promise. Here's the promise that God gives us in his word, and he gives it to us in several places. Jeremiah 33:3, he gives it to us. Hebrews 11:6, he gives it to us in James chapter 4, verse 8, that if we would pursue the Father, that he will meet us there. That if we would chase him, that he will pour into our lives. And for you to take the time and say, God, I'm gonna give you the first of my year. I'm gonna separate because I need you, not what I think I need. God will bless your life. That's a guarantee that I wanna give you based out of the scripture. Amen, everybody? So if you would, get out those worship guides, open them up, grab a pen. Hopefully there's plenty in the seat backs in front of you. If you don't have a pen and you need one, just wave your hand, and our team will definitely find you and make sure that you have one. I love my TV. My notes and scriptures are all gonna show up there for you. But I wanna start here this weekend. We've been starting each day, kind of with each Sunday with the thesis, if you will, of the Sunday. Sort of the idea of the whole series. Our thesis is this, that most people have uphill habits, uphill hopes and downhill habits. So most people, it's like, I hope for more, I want more. Man, God, give me more, but the habits of their lives don't match, right? So it's like, I've got this desire, and here's what I wanna say, that hope is a good thing, wouldn't you agree? Hope's a good thing. The Bible talks a lot about hope, but hope is a motivator. Hope's not a strategy. I'm gonna say it again, that hope is a motivator, but hope is not a strategy. Hope will get you going, but hope will not keep you going. All right, so what we have to do behind the hope is implement some strategies to sustain what we wanna see God do. So here's the sort of the foundation scripture of our series. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'd love for you all, if you would you say the words that are highlighted with me? Go ahead and say them. Fix your attention on God. That's the big idea. That's the big idea. The Bible says that we need to fix our attention on God. And too often times, myself included, we will fix our attention on other things: demands, urgency, work, life, stress, fears, issues, concerns. And God's saying, hey, don't get lost in the fog. Don't get into all that. I want you to fix your attention on God. And then here's what I want you to notice. I can hear the echo, so I'm gonna fix it for y'all. Ready? Everybody good? All right, break. Fix your attention on God. Check out what the Bible says. Better? Good? All right, good. Here we go. Fix your attention on God, and I want you to notice something, that you'll be changed from the inside out. You're gonna be changed from the inside out, and this is the key, and this is what I want you to see. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, the Bible says, and then check out what it goes on to say. Eventually, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. I want you to notice, out of you, and he wants to develop well-formed maturity inside of you. There's something going on the inside, and the problem with most people, and maybe it's you, and maybe it's me, but the problem is that we want some external change, but nothing is shifting on the inside. And what the Bible's telling us is that if we will fix our attention on the Father, that God, I am gonna just give my attention to you. I am gonna honor you. I'm gonna make you first. I'm gonna dedicate my decisions to doing it your way, according to your word, according to your will. Whether I like it or not, I'm just gonna put you first. The Bible says that he will do a work on the inside. And he'll start to change you on the inside. When we change internally, we change externally. So here's what I wanna give you today, and I want you to write this down with me. Habit number two, write this down, is I wanna encourage you to control your thoughts. We have to focus on the way that we are thinking, to control our thoughts. To make sure that God is going to be the focus, not everything else, not the demands, not in your notes, but I want you to see this, that maybe you would say this, you might want to write it in the margin of your notes, but I'll never change the way I live until I change the way I think. Let me say it this way, that if you want what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. If you wanna get what you're getting, just keep on doing the things that you're doing right now. But if you wanna get something different, you're gonna have to do something different. Have you ever heard it said that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result, right? Well, oftentimes, I think in the spiritual lives that we live, we do those things. And what we want is we want God to bail us out. What we want is God to give us something that we haven't positioned ourselves to receive. And what I want to encourage you to do is today, and I'm just going to show you that the scripture is packed full of words to say about how we think. And if I intend to change the way I live, I'm going to have to change the way that I think. Amen, everybody. So watch this, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Wise, notice, thinking leads to right living. But notice what the Bible says. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. But see, I just want you to notice that the thinking is directly attached to the living. Like the way that I think, the way that my mind works, the way that I'm gonna process things, it's directly connected to the things, to the way that my life will inevitably unroll or unfold. What I do, how I think will determine what I get. Amen, everybody. So write this down with me. We're gonna breeze through a couple of thoughts and I'm gonna really make it applicable to you today. But I want you to know this, that everything begins with a thought. Everything starts with a thought, right? I mean, it almost sounds like, well, duh. But I just want you to let that settle in, that that everything in my world, everything begins with the way that I think, with a thought in my mind. It's the process of the system that goes on the inside of me that will determine the measure of my life. Romans tells us like this. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Like there's a transformation process that God wants to stir on the inside of you where things, he's like, I want you to live differently, believe differently, trust differently, walk differently, hope differently, speak differently, because I want to do something on the inside of you, deep within you, and I'm going to transform even the way you think about stuff, because if I could change the way that you think, I can change the way that you approach, your perspective will shift, your hope will increase. I've got to get your minds to move and to shift a little bit, and it all begins with a thought. It begins about the way that we think and the thoughts that we have. Every sin begins with a thought. Every hope begins with a thought, but it all starts in our minds, which is the place where spiritual warfare takes place. Can I get an amen? Anybody out there this morning? Amen. Amens don't make me preach better, but they help. All right? All right. Second thing I want you to write down is this, that what we think determines how we feel. Just determines how I feel about it. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? You ever been around that person that nothing's ever good? Like, woe is me all the time. You know what I'm talking about? You ever get around those people where you're just like, oh my gosh, is this thing almost over because I can't take any more of this? Do you have family like that, that every time you get around them, around the family gatherings, you try to just eat somewhere else because you can't take it? Come on, am I right? Right? But on the flip side, have you ever been around the eternal optimist? You know, where you're just like, oh my gosh, you're so happy all the time about everything. And if you've never met anybody like that, find Pastor Charlie today and just spend a couple minutes with him. Change your life, man. Change your life. The eternal optimist, man. Like everything's good. Everything's happy. Did anybody tell you they love you to death? To get today, hey, we're better because you're here. It's like you get around him and you just, man, the whole world's better. It's about the thinking. And when you get around people like that, it changes the way you feel. I get around the eternal optimist, I feel good. I get around the crabby naysayer all the time, I don't feel good. And some of you have found it to be true of you that you might lean a little more toward like the negative thing, and it affects the feelings, doesn't it? I had one woman tell me the other day, she said, every morning, Pastor, I wake up grumpy. And I said, really? And she said, yes. And some mornings I let them sleep in. All right, we'll go to the verse. It was my wife. Like, what? I'm kidding. All right. When her head goes down, that, yeah, might not be a good sign. Finally, let's get back to it. Finally, brothers and sisters, he's talking to the Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. He's talking to the Christ followers, those whose hope is in Jesus. So whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, some of you know this by heart. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, the Bible says, just think about that. This is really a verse that speaks to our perspective. I said it a few weeks ago in a message that we can't affect what happens to us, but we can affect how we respond. And that starts with our thinking. And that starts by the way that we think. And the Bible's just declaring, that I just want you to think about the right things because it's gonna affect the way you feel. And if you read this verse beyond, if you go further in Philippians chapter 4, you'll find that the Bible says that the God of peace will guard us. I'm pretty sure it's verse 9. It's like the next one. And I don't think it's on my screen, so I'm not gonna have him flip it. But it's the God of peace will guard you, he'll protect you, he'll cover you, because the way we think matters, everybody. Amen. Amen. Third one, here we go. Third one, that our thoughts, you ready? Our thoughts determine our destiny. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, oh yeah, this is one of those name it, claim it, spit it, get it, blab it, grab it sermons right here. That's what it is. The pastor's saying, if I just think nice things and speak nice things, that nice things are always gonna happen. No. That's not actually at all what I'm proclaiming, but what I'm declaring is that the way that we think and our thoughts and the way that we position ourselves and the way that we move, it will determine where we wind up, the destiny of our lives. And I'd like to show you that scripturally, because the Bible says it right here for us, Romans 8, 5, and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about it. Like, they're thinking about that. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, I'm gonna talk about him in just a few moments. The Bible says, think about, whoa. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. It's how I think that determines the way my life goes. Because if I'm having issues all the time, go back one more. If I'm having issues all the time, if my life feels like a mess, because it is a mess and I've got issues and struggles and trials, you know what? The Bible says maybe it's the way you're thinking. Maybe you're dominated by the wrong kind of thinking. And I want you to change the perspective, change your thoughts, and change the approach, because I want you to put the Holy Spirit as the driving force of your heart and life so that you can walk in the destiny that he has for you. Now you can switch it. Thank you, brother. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind, notice what it does. It leads to your destiny. It leads to life and peace. Amen. It leads to life and it leads to peace in our lives. My thoughts, they begin, that everything begins there. It determines how I feel and it leads me to my destiny. So let's talk about how to master the habit. I wanna help you master the habit. If there's anything I prefer to do as a pastor, and certainly as a preacher, it is to, or teacher, I don't know how you classify me, but if there's anything that I love to do, it is to give you a practical way to make God's word, the Bible, be effective in your life. Like, tell me, preacher, how to use it. Because I don't wanna just stir you with good sounding stuff. I just wanna say, hey, do this and do that, and you'll see the effect, and that's what we're gonna do right now. I wanna talk to you about mastering the habit. So number one, write some things down with me and I'll explain them all. But the first thing I wanna encourage you to do is find a plan to control your thoughts. Like, all of us have to do this. I have to find a plan to control my thoughts. There's gotta be a plan for it. So if I have a thinking issue, if I have a problem with the way that I think, if my mind sets me up, maybe naturally, maybe just, I was actually speaking to someone a few weeks ago, and they said, I think I'm naturally kind of an angry person. I have to really work on that. Which, first of all, I thought was beautiful self-awareness, but this would be a perfect thing for them to implement into their life, that, man, I've gotta find a plan then. If I have certain thoughts or processes, or maybe because of the way I came up, or maybe because of the scars of what happened to me, or maybe because of the things I don't know, I have a certain way of thinking where I'm on guard, or I'm jaded, or I see the worst first, or whatever it may be. I've got to find some sort of plan that's going to help me control those thoughts. Wouldn't you agree? And here's what I want to say, just simple steps. Maybe it doesn't surprise you, but I want to encourage you to read the Bible. And I know what some of you are thinking, you're disappointed right now, because you're like, dang, man, I thought you were gonna tell me something cool. But here's what I wanna say to you. Listen, like, this is everything. And here's something else that I wanna say. I understand, by the way, that inside of this room, there are many of you that when you think of this book, you think of a big, thick, intimidating thing where you don't even know where to start. And I get it. I completely understand that. And I just want you to know, like, that's okay. So I wanna encourage, just simple. I wanna encourage you to find a Bible reading plan. Like, get something, a 1-year Bible plan or something that you can actually have to help you navigate through the scripture. And I put on here 1-year Bible plan. This is something that I personally do. My oldest daughter is doing this right now. We're actually reading the same exact 1-year Bible plan. And here's why I like it, because when I go to this plan, and I'm gonna tell you how to find them, just hang one second. But when I go to this plan, what it's doing for me is every single day when I read my plan, I spend a little bit of time in the Old Testament. Then I spend a little bit of time in the New Testament. And then I read a Psalm and I read a Proverb every day. And I personally just think it's a very healthy, balanced diet of the Bible. A little old, a little new. And then I'm not intimidated because I don't know if you're in this room, but maybe you've done it because I've tried that. I'm going to start January 1st. I'm starting on page one. I mean, dude, do you see how thick that thing is? I mean, it intimidates me, and I'm a preacher. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm probably not going to pull that off. But if I could just get something that would help me to get a little bit of the Bible in my spirit every single day, and here's what I want to say. Like, you don't even have to accept the challenge to read the whole thing. I just want to encourage you to read it. Like, if maybe you said, look, I'm busy, man. I'm busy. I don't really have time to spend a bunch of time reading the Bible. Oh, okay. All right. I'll give you that. I understand. Well, then get the psalm. Just get a little psalm, still chapter, just grab that. I'm too busy. Pastor, my goodness, I'm too busy. Okay, all right, fine. Just read the proverb. It's one sentence. It's one sentence. I think you can handle it. But some intake of God's word is better than none. And there's no possible way statistically that everyone in here is in God's word every single day. There are some of us in this room that say, yes, a sentence would be better than what I'm giving right now. And I just want to encourage you to do it. Because, and I'm going to get on a soapbox here for just a second, but I want to say this. Don't make the excuse. Stop it. Because that's how you think. Don't make the excuse that says, I don't understand it. It's too intimidating. Don't do that. Because when you wanted to repair something on your car and you couldn't afford the guy that did it, you watched a 3.5-minute YouTube video and became an expert and did it yourself. Come on, right? Right? And you ain't never turned a wrench in your whole life, but you fixed the brakes. You did that. Way to go. We don't make excuses in certain other areas, but tend to make them in the spiritual realm. What I'm saying is don't make the excuse. Find the resources. So if you want a little help, this is, maybe you want to write this down. There's an application you can download on your phone. We should add this, Mosley, to the screen. We should add this to the screen. But I want to encourage you to download the application. It's called the YouVersion Bible app. Y-O-U version Bible app. Down, I think it's the greatest resource that the modern church has ever been given. Ever. And everybody has their phone all the time, and you can open that thing up and create reading plans that'll help you to navigate through any. I mean, you can search like plans, Bible plans on parenting, Bible plans on business, being a business leader. I mean, it'll just give you plans. Some of them are 7 days, 3 days, 14 days, 21 days, all year, just whatever. They're there. If you're a computer person, I'm on the computer, pastor, all the time. BibleGateway.com. Can't tell you how awesome a resource that is. I use it probably nearly every single day. Another one, just in case you're a note taker, that I use on a regular basis is called openbible.com, Open Bible. And these are resources that I use in my study and in my preparation where I can just get God's word and I'll literally type in there, scriptures about thinking, enter. It just gives them to me. I didn't have to know them or memorize them, but then I can learn them and get them invested into my spirit so that it can shift the way that I'm thinking. Amen. All right, moving on, point number two for time. I want to encourage you to find a place to think your thoughts. Find a place to think your thoughts. We all need it. We all should do it. And here's what I want to encourage. I want to encourage you that as much as you can, every day if possible, find a spot where you can separate from everything else. Everything else. The phone, the family, the TV, the distractions, everything else, in just a few moments, if all it is a few moments, I want to encourage you to just spend some time with the Lord thinking those thoughts. I said it this way, have a daily conversation with God. Yes, that's code for prayer. Yes, it is, okay? And again, I always think of those who are young in their faith. Always, when I'm preaching, I think of you, and I understand the challenge that is ahead of you for you to get comfortable in this journey and the way that we are successful in it. And what I want to encourage you to do is just talk to him. Because so many people won't pray because they think that it should rhyme. It should be in the New King James Version. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, God is not from England, everybody, all right? Alan is, and he's close to God, but he's not God, all right? Okay, God doesn't need it that way. What he needs is you to be on, just be you. Talk to him. You don't have to start. There's not an appropriate beginning and end. There's no proper pleasantries that God accepts more than others. God's just the God that wants to know you personally. And you can literally say, good morning, God. I don't know how to do this. Help me today. Amen. And I think God would say, all right, I got your back. because I love you. And if this is where we start, this is where we start. Because when we first started walking, we fell down a lot, but eventually we could run, right? Jump over stuff, but we have to grow in our journey of faith. And I put it this way to say, just have a conversation, just talk to him. That's all he wants. He just wants to communicate with you. Find a place to think your thoughts. Let's go to the Word of God right here. I like to support my points as much as possible with the Bible, so you know I'm not preaching from my opinion. Romans 4:12, the Word of God is, notice, it's alive. It's active. This thing is living, and it is breathing. It will speak. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It gets to the bottom of it. It helps me. If I'll get inside this word and learn how to listen, I can learn how to talk. How long was it when you were born before you could actually speak? Yeah, how much listening did you do first? A lot. Couple of years before I was talking, but I was doing a lot of listening. I need to get inside of that word. Take me to Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Notice this. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Remember, fix your attention on God. He'll change you from the inside out. Have the conversation. Think about him every day. Spend some time with him. Listen to me. Solitude is healthy. Isolation, not so much. This might mean something to somebody. You might want to write it down in the margin of your notes. But isolation, those who don't have solitude long for isolation. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Remember that? But the Bible told us that Jesus woke up early in the morning and he left the house and he went to a solitary place to pray. And if I can get in some solitude before the Lord, just me and him, Father, I'm here with you. It's because in solitude with God, you're not alone. But if I'm not separating to engage in a relationship with a God who loves me and longs to know me, I will long to escape the world, the pressure, people, everything else. But if I could just have an infilling from the inside, it'll change everything on the outside. Amen. Amen. Number three, write this down with me. I want to encourage you to find people to stretch your thoughts. Get around some folks that challenge the way you think. That stretch who you are, that make you want to step up to another level. You need those people. And here's what I wanna say, and this I could preach about this for a day. I wanna say this from the passion and the intentionality of my own life, hunt for them. Look for them, search for them, find them and connect with them. Don't be afraid to be the person that will say, can I take you out for coffee, for lunch? Can I have a conversation with you? It's just something about you that just challenges me that I like to be around. It's just, I would love some of your attention. And then when you get that moment, be prepared for them. Here's the questions I wanna ask. Charlie, why are you so happy all the time? Nancy, check. Right? amen. Hey, what do you do to, what? I don't know, whatever it is. Whatever it is, get around those people. And I'm gonna go a step further. I'm giving you some real tangible ways. Listen, I wanna encourage you, get in a small group. Like get in one. And if it's okay, can I just speak very transparently to you about this right now? Yeah? Pastor Ronnie always makes fun of me when I say that because he says, what is the people gonna say? No? And that's probably true. They did give me the microphone. Anyway, I want to talk to you about this for a second because, again, I'm real, right? I'm an actual person with a family and a life and bills and all that stuff. And God called me to pastor a church, and I love it. Man, I love what God called me to do. It is the passion of my life. It's the joy of my life. And in our church, in the last particularly year and a half, the growth here has been pretty amazing, honestly, what God has done in our church. We're more than double the size we were a year and a half ago, which is crazy to think. Doesn't feel that way necessarily to me, but the numbers actually show that, which staggers me just a little bit. But when I look at the church from, And I'm only going to speak to you for a second, just from a pastoral point of view. When I look at the church as a whole, here's what I've recently recognized, that we have grown in our church in every single area of our church, except this one. This is the stalemated, flatlined, plateaued portion of our church. And here's what I want to say to you. I don't want you to feel bad for it. You shouldn't. Because here's the truth. I lead the church. This is my fault. So we have begun to have some meetings. And I'm talking about within the last 3 days, some very intentional meetings to say, we're doing something. We're not leading our church well here. So what are we doing that's not allowing them to engage relationally through small groups? And we've started to create questions we're asking, methods that we're gonna change, because I believe this with all of my heart, that for us to be successful in the journey of faith, we have to do it with other people. And if you don't believe that, go at it alone, and you'll find very fast that you cannot do it. I mean this so honestly. You can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody can. So we've created this avenue, we thought, to engage people relationally. And right now we're measuring the effectiveness issue here. We're measuring that. Like, what is it? What are we not doing? What are we not leading our people to do in terms of small groups? Because when I started measuring a couple of days ago, I started to recognize that, and by the way, our small group semester will launch February 4th. We're in a semester break right now. They won't even launch till the 4th. So if you're like, yeah, I'm gonna go get in one, you have to wait a couple weeks, okay? So just fair warning. But we're already starting to see some of the group leaders that we're gonna have. And here's what I've recognized, that the small group leaders that are in the pipeline for our spring launch are some of the newest people in our church, which is interesting to me. And here's what I've recognized. I don't know if this is smart pastorally or not. I'm just gonna talk to you for a second, okay? Here's what I think I'm recognizing. And I've only been digging into this for about 3 days. But here's what I'm starting to recognize, that the new people in our church want to get connected relationally. But some of us who have been around a while are getting a little too comfortable. Like, I know everybody, I'm good. It's not a big deal to me. So I always feel bad when I like just sort of say things that are very bold. But here's what I want to say. There are some of you in this room, I'm sure of it, that the Holy Spirit of God has been speaking to you to step out and connect with people in leadership, particularly through a small group, and you've not done it. And all I wanna say is, listen to me, if it's the Holy Spirit, you need to respond to that. If it is pastor and you feel guilty, don't move, because that is not sustainable. God never leads us through guilt. That is not God's heart. That is enemy's distraction of what God wants to do in our hearts. But if it's the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, you need to respond in obedience to what he's leading you to do. Amen. So we are gonna feverishly work. We have coded it in prayer. We have been talking about it. We are gonna feverishly work and figure out a way that we can help you better engage relationally together, because I'm not interested in attendance. I'm interested in life change. And I believe with all of my heart that real life change happens in the context of relationships. If you are depending on my message on Sunday morning to change your life, it's not sustainable. This is not enough. It will not last. But if you can get engaged in relationship with people that you can say, bro, my world just hit the fan. I'm freaking out. What can I do? Hey, I'm gonna pray with you right now, man. Let me just pray over you. I'm gonna encourage you. I'm gonna be there for you. When someone dies and the person's, I'm like, man, my mom just died. There should be a group of people that say, I know him and I love him. And I'm gonna come and bring some food to your house. I'm gonna show up and help you. Like, what can I do to cater to your need? Because I'm in relationship with you and I care about you. And I love you. Or maybe at the tail end of James chapter 5, when we recognize that, man, my brother or my sister is starting to wander off into some sin, but I know them and I love them. And I'm gonna be the one that says, hey, I'm here for you, man. I think you're making some bad choices. And I love you enough to just be a part of your life and engage with you right now. The Bible says that those that will steer a brother from the fault of his sin will save his life and spare a multitude of sins. The Bible's all about relationships. So I'm not promoting small groups so that we can tell people we got small groups. I'm not saying it so we can say they're growing because I like numbers. I'm saying it because if they're growing, that means every number represents someone's heart. And that means that if more numbers are attending, then more people are connecting and more sustainable life is happening in the family. All right, amen. Time is making me move on. I'm just encouraging you to get in a group, be relational. I could go on and on, but I won't. Hebrews 10, it's right there in your notes. Notice what the Bible says. Again, I don't ever want to declare anything out of my opinion. And if I do, I'll tell you that it's my opinion. I like to preach from the truth of the word. Let us think about it, of ways to motivate others to acts of love and good works. Together, relationally. Let us think, man, I gotta ponder, because what you're thinking right now is, Pastor, I'm busy. No, I know, I'm busy. We're all busy, but I gotta think of ways. I'm gonna ask it like this. I'm gonna say it like this. Your life is your group. So here's the question that I want you to ask yourself. Because what you're thinking right now is you're thinking, man, I can't do something else. Oh my gosh. Okay. But I want you to ask yourself this question. What part of my schedule that I hold now, that I'm already doing, could I just invite some other people to do with me? And for a lot of you, there's an answer to that. Like, oh, I eat lunch like every day. It's crazy. Except in January, because my church is crazy. But no, I'm just kidding, right? Just playing. I actually eat lunch every day. Cool, man. Would you, like, for one day a week, for a segment of time, could you just invite people to eat lunch with you? That's your group. That's it. So think of ways to motivate others to acts of love and kindness. Check it out though. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Let's don't neglect it, as some are in the habit of doing, the Bible said. Some have made it their norm to neglect meeting together. Like, no, I'm too busy. I don't need that. And the Bible's saying don't do that. Some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Like, Jesus is coming back, everybody. And I want him to show up and get me. Come on. I want him to show up and get my family. I want him to show up and get my neighborhood and get my friends and get my workplace. Like, man, I need God to do something significant, and I need the body of Christ to pull it off, because I'll never do it alone. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to be over time just a little bit, but I'm moving. Number four. I want to encourage you to find a purpose to live my thoughts. Find a purpose to live them, to actually act out those thoughts. Like, I am changing from the inside out. God is doing something in me. I'm thinking differently. I'm feeling differently. I'm seeing something differently. Then I need a purpose for it. I need a purpose for it. And here's what I wanna say. Listen. I think purpose is a big staggering word that scares a lot of people. I'm gonna put you at ease this morning, because I'm about to tell you your purpose. All of you, ready? Your purpose, Jesus said, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, everywhere. That's your purpose. And some of you guys are like, but I'm not a preacher. No. I want you to recognize what Jesus said. He told you what to do. He did not tell you how to do it. That's what I love about Jesus. Here's the what. I need people to know who I am. I need you to go out there and be the light of Christ and the light to the world. Like, I need people to be the salt of the earth. This is what I need you to do. But he didn't tell you how to do it. And every single one of us were designed by God on purpose with a purpose. You're wired a certain way. You think a certain way. God put you together a certain way. And you wanna know why he put you together that way? Because it complements the body of Christ. There's a scripture that says, like, could the hand say to the arm, I don't need you? No. Because when the body works the way that God designed the body to work, then it just works. It moves the gospel forward. So again, for time, throw it up there for me. I just wanna take a second, just a quick second. I wanna promote to you our Connect class. We do it the first Sunday of every single month here at Church on the Rock. It happens at 12:45. Currently it's happening here because of construction next door. And what this is, and I'm gonna shotgun this for you. This is like, many of you would recognize this as like membership class. I wanna take the time, I personally lead it, and I would love to just take the time to tell you everything about our church. Like, what do we do? And how do we do it? And why do we do it that way? And who's making decisions? And how is money spent? And what's your hope for me? What are you trying to do in my life? Because I believe if you're going to connect to the church, you deserve the right to know what it's doing. It's your church. It's not my church. It's yours. We're the family of God. And I love taking the time to say, hey, this is what we believe. This is what God has called us to, because I believe God's given us a very clear, very direct mission for our community and beyond. And I'll share that with you. And then you have the opportunity to say, yeah, I either like it and I want to dive into the vision and help advance it, or you know what? I need to keep looking for a church. And I'm okay with either way you leave. Because what I recognize is that this church, it's not for everybody. Now, selfishly, I'd like it to be, but that's pride. And the reality is there's other churches out there that are awesome. And they're good. And they can grow you and they can edify you. And those pastors love God and love their people. And those teams are doing amazing things in our community and in our city. When I first started having conversations with Pastor Anthony, I was at a prayer. I meet with a bunch of pastors every month for 2 hours. We spend some time together. And my good friend, Andy Herko, pastors a church just north of us on the interstate up here. What's it called? Good News Presbyterian North Campus. And my buddy, Andy Herko, he's the pastor there. And he came over to me and he said, "You got my guy." And I said, "What?" He said, "You got my guy." So what are you talking about? He said, "Anthony." And I said, "Yeah, I did. I was really excited. Yeah. I got your guy." I said, "But Andy, I didn't know he was your guide." He laughed. He said, "Can I tell you something, man? Can I tell you something?" He said, "He's awesome. He's gonna change your church, man. He's gonna do something in your next generation that you've never seen before. It's great, man." He just pumped him up. And my buddy Andy, I'm just gonna brag on one. I could brag on dozens. I'll brag on one. He thinks like I think. Man, I'm glad he's gonna serve the body of Christ in your house. I'm glad that God's gonna do a great thing at Church on the Rock, even though I pastor this church up here, because his heart is like ours. Man, we want the kingdom to grow, not empires. We don't need to make any. The only name that needs to be famous, everybody, is Jesus. Come on. Not Church on the Rock, not Good News. Those are small parts of the very big picture that God's called us to. Amen. Last thing, and I'm gonna plug it quickly, is we do a thing called Discovery Class, and I actually only promote Discovery in normal scenarios in Connect. I talk about it there and give you the opportunity to register. But we do this thing called Discovery Class. I think it's pretty important, actually, and that happens on the third Sunday of every month, and it happens at the same time. And we just like to help people discover the way God wired them up. So you answer some questions and do a couple things, and you kind of discover the personality type that you carry, some of the spiritual gifts active in your heart and life currently, what God presently has in you. And then what we do is we try to help people take, like, okay, cool, this is how God designed you. You are a introverted, task-oriented person. So this is if people want to serve on a team, then we say, all right, cool, then you probably need a role that's behind the scenes, away from the people, and it would actually serve you better to serve us there, to serve the family there. And then there's other people like me, like the more the merrier, man. Let's just have a lot of people. I love people. I'm a people person. Okay, great, great, great. You're gonna be a greeter. You're gonna be a greeter. Calm down. You're gonna greet. You know what I'm saying? Like, and what we do is we just help people discover, like, God wired them up that way. So, man, let's help you get connected and serve the body of Christ that way, because you need a place to live the thoughts. You gotta have a place to live those out. We'll go to the scripture quickly. I'm gonna close with my last point right after this. Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, yeah, we gotta change the way we think. Gotta change the way we think. Number 5, write this down. And this is big. This is big, big. But I want to encourage you to recognize the power to fuel your thoughts. Let me have your attention one moment. This is where many, 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 many Christians miss it. Put my next thing up for me, Mosley. I want to encourage you to open your life to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, before you get freaked out, hang on. Okay? Because There's a lot of people that want to have a relationship with God, but they're scared of the Spirit he gives them. And they're scared because so many churches have misrepresented it and abused it, made it weird and uncomfortable. And I'm gonna give you my opinion right now. I don't think that's God. But there is a great power that is available to every Christian that's inside of us. The Bible says that he puts his Spirit in us so we can know and understand his truth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit never does anything that the Father doesn't instruct him to do. And my personal beef is when people have made the Holy Spirit to be something that he's not. I don't like it when people emphasize certain gifts and things that the Bible itself doesn't even emphasize. I believe that this Holy Spirit wants to do amazing things in our life to help us in our day-to-day normal living. That's what I believe. And I believe that if we would just open up our lives to it, just say, okay, God, okay, I believe in the power of your Holy Spirit that dwells within me, and I want to open myself up to receive that power. I think what you're going to recognize is an amazing thing that you've never experienced before, because there's something that then is in you that is stronger than you are in and of yourself. The power to change from the inside out comes from the Holy Spirit. And some of you, all you need to do is just recognize that. You're totally comfortable with God the Father. You love the idea of Jesus, his son. You're all hands up about his Holy Spirit. And I wanna boldly say, you cannot have one without the other. It is the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that works inside of every believer, regardless of the gifting, to advance the gospel in the earth today. And I'm gonna show it to you in the Bible. Go ahead and throw it up, Mosley. Now to him who is able, him being Jesus, the Father. Now to him who is able to do, notice this, exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably above all that we could ask or say, the word with me, or what? According to the power that works in us. This church is the power of the Holy Spirit that wants to be a part of your everyday life and empower you to become what you want to become, to make sure that you set the habits uphill, because everything worth doing is uphill. And he wants to give you the supernatural power to do it, to change, to transform, to be made new. Can I get a good amen, somebody? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.